This, let's just remain seated when we find this text this evening. We're going to be reading a lot of scripture here, and I want to go through these verses with you and maybe pause and say a few things as we look at them. And so because of that, let's just remain seated as we read through these verses, okay? Acts chapter 15, and we're going through the book of Acts in our Sunday evening services, and we find ourselves in chapter 15, a little over halfway through the book, and what God has for us tonight, and really it's timely, we're going to be talking about keeping things right, and we need that, don't we? We need to be reminded to keep things right. It's so easy to get things, for things to get off. And we need to be reminded, okay, so let's get things right. Let's keep things right, okay? Look at verse number 13, Acts chapter 15. And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, "Men and brethren, hearken unto me." So what had happened is there had been some Judaizers that had come into the church in Antioch, and they had began to teach that you had to receive Jesus as your Savior, but you also had to become circumcised. You had to become a Jew before you could be saved. And so Paul and Barnabas was saying, this isn't true. This isn't true doctrine. This is false doctrine. And they were standing against these false teachings. And so what they did is they gathered a group of Paul and Barnabas and a few others, and they took this issue to the church in Jerusalem, and they reported it to the church there in Jerusalem. And so now the pastor of the church in Jerusalem is going to address the issue of the Judaizers and this false doctrine. And so James speaks. Verse 14. Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take of them a people for his name. And so now James here is referencing what Simon Peter did in chapter 10 of Acts when he went into the house of Cornelius. And let's remember, Cornelius was a Gentile. But God led Peter to Cornelius' house because the gospel now would be open not just to the Jews, but to all mankind and to the Gentiles. And it would be out without the work of the law unto salvation. And so Peter is really the foundation of this principle that James is going to speak of here. Verse 15. And to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written, "After this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof and will set it up." So now he's referencing Amos chapter 9. In fact, he's quoting Amos chapter 9, verse 11 and 12. James is doing that. And so he's not just saying Peter was an example, but he's going all the way back to the book of Amos to make this same point. Look at verse 17. "That the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Wherefore my sentence is that we trouble them not." So James is now, he's applying both Amos and the testimony of Peter to how this issue with the Gentiles should be dealt with. Should they become a Jew to confirm their salvation? Or can they by faith, by grace, through faith, be saved and without the works of the law? He's saying, trouble them not. And so the conclusion is, salvation is by grace through faith. And we say amen to that. Amen. That's the point. "Which among the Gentiles are turned to God." Now verse 20. "But that we write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols, and from fornication, and from things strangled, and from blood." Now this is a different issue. What James now is saying, we don't need to trouble them about becoming Jews to be saved, but there are a few things they need to be mindful of. And that's what he says in verse 20. And this is what we're going to be talking about tonight. Verse 21, "For Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach him, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath day. Then pleased it the apostles and elders, with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barsabas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren. So everybody was excited about what James had said here, and now they're going to take this report, they're going to make it into a letter, which begins in verse 23, and we will read it. And they're going to deliver this to Antioch, and they're going to report this to the church. When this issue comes up, this is how we deal with this issue. Look at verse 23. And they wrote letters by them after this manner. The apostles and elders and brethren send greeting unto the brethren which are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia. For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your souls, saying ye must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. It seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul. Why would they send not only Barnabas and Paul, who were trusted, but others with them as witnesses, to say Barnabas and Paul aren't making this up? This is a decision that was made by the apostles in the church in Jerusalem, and this is a foundation that we can build on in our doctrine. Amen. Now, verse 25. It seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord. I already read that. Verse 26. Men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we have sent therefore Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things by mouth. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. And then they report again what he said in verse 20, that ye abstain from meats offered to idols and from blood and from things strangled and from fornication, from which if ye keep yourselves, ye shall do well, fare ye well. And that's the conclusion of the letter. We'll read all the way to verse 35, so keep tracking with me. So when they were dismissed, they came to Antioch, and remember, they had this letter with them. And when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the epistle, meaning they read the letter. By the way, kind of like what we're doing right now. Like, we are literally reading the same epistle that was read to the church in Antioch when it was written by the apostles. That's pretty neat to think about. Amen. Now verse number 31. Which when they had read, they, say that word, rejoiced for the consolation. That's, by the way, when you hear a message from God, that ought to be the response. Rejoicing. And that's how they responded, rejoicing. And Judas and Silas, being prophets, also themselves exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them. And after they had tarried there a space, they were let go in peace from the brethren unto the apostles. Notwithstanding, it pleased Silas to abide there still. And remember, Silas would go with Paul on the next missionary journeys. And so it would be Paul and Silas. I love that. And so here he is. Now verse 35. Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. Again, we're going to be talking about keeping things right. Keeping things right. So pray with me if you would. Father, it's a blessing really just to read through this and to know that you are faithful and that you're good. And so we ask tonight for your touch. We ask for your power in the message. Lord, I pray for your people that we would hear from you. God, we need to hear from you. Without you, we can do nothing. And so, Lord, we ask for your strength and your wisdom and your power in the message tonight. Lord, help us to see what you have for us and that you might get glory for it all. Thank you for your grace in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So when I played basketball in high school, I talked about this morning. I've been talking about basketball a lot lately. There was a kid who lost his tooth in the basketball game. It was a bummer. And the whole tooth came out, like the root and everything. And so it was pretty gruesome. And I remembered, just the scene of that and just thinking, okay, so I'm going to get a mouthpiece and this is going to happen to me. It was really a terrible thing. One thing that we didn't know that we found out later is when something like that happens, you can actually just put it back in there and it'll regrow and everything will be okay. Now, you might have like issues there, but you can put the tooth back in if the root isn't broken. But of course, we didn't know that. And so it was too late by the time he would have known that you could have done that. And so he lost that tooth. And I said that to say what God wants to do tonight is he wants to set things right. And there are times in our life when things get broken. They're not where they need to be. And it's funny how that happens too, how quickly it can happen. So we're on the path that God wants us to be on, and then we can so easily get away from it. We've been talking about this a lot in Sunday school too, but I want us to relate to this tonight, that we can be where God wants us to be, we can be doing what he wants us to do, and then so easily we can get broken off of that, and things can be off, and our life isn't where it needs to be. What God wants to do tonight is he wants to help us to see that we can set things right. And with him working in us, things can be set right. This is a message of encouragement. This is a message of the peace that God can fill us with again. And I'm thankful for that because, like I said, it's so easy for us to get broken and to get away from him and to get off track. Listen, when things are not the way they need to be, it just hurts, doesn't it? Amen. It's like anything in our body that gets broken. When things aren't right, it's just not right. And everything in us says, I need to get this right. And what I want you to see tonight is you can do that. You can get things right with God immediately. You can get right with him. He can set things right. Does it mean that you're healed immediately and the pain is gone and everything is just perfect? No, but God brings the healing. And the process of getting things set right that are broken can happen instantaneously. But it's a decision that we have to make. We have to decide, like the title tonight, that we want to live a life where we are keeping things right. Where we are understanding that things aren't right and I want to be right. Things aren't the way they need to be, and I want things to be set right and back in place. The Judaizers here had come on the scene, and they had begun to teach the disciples of the Lord in the church, and they were teaching them things that weren't true. They were showing them doctrines of not just salvation and saying that it's by grace, but then adding the works of the law to become a Jew and to fulfill the law. And then that is how you can secure your salvation. Well, this isn't the way grace works at all. As a matter of fact, when Paul wrote the book of Galatians, that's the issue he wrote Galatians to deal with the Judaizers, that you don't have to work for your salvation. Salvation is by grace. Aren't you thankful for grace tonight? And grace is something you can't earn. You can't become good enough, and then suddenly you deserve grace. It's available to you. God doesn't run out of it. And he offers it to us tonight. When things are broken, he says, I'll give you grace. And I have more grace available. But you need to come to him and ask him for his grace. And ask him for his healing touch. And here's what happens. The Judaizers had come on the scene and they're teaching these false things. And what it's doing in the hearts of God's people is it's breaking them. It's making them confused. It's making them on the wrong path. And not thinking right, and not where they need to be. And Paul and Barnabas are stirred up about this. And by the way, God's people should be stirred up. It's not like when we look at Paul and Barnabas and we see, you know, two perfect people who never have issues either. Let's not forget that when John Mark went away and it was time for John Mark to maybe get back on the trail, which we will be dealing with later on in the book of Acts here, that Paul was like, no thanks, I don't want John Mark with me. And we find out later that this was an issue that Paul had. He had a problem, and you know, and so I'm bringing that up to say, there's not any human in this world that doesn't have times and seasons when things get broken. What we need to understand is God's grace is available, and he can put things back together. And oh yes, and it'll hurt for a while, you know, but he heals. And the healing of God when we give ourselves to him, it's amazing. It's miraculous, isn't it? And that's how his grace works. And we don't deserve his grace, but his grace is available. And he loves us. And I'm thankful for it. Do you know what brings that healing? Do you know what sets things right? The Word of God. Now we get off, right? and we get away from the Lord and things get broken in our life, but then we get ourselves back under the context of God's word, the umbrella of God's word, and then God begins that process of setting it right. And by the way, it's not like it's just something that happens out here. This is up here. You know? I think I've been saying this a lot lately. There's times when I'm preaching and God's working in my heart while I'm preaching. And so he, in his word, he sets things right. And he works through his word. If the issue of the Judaizers and the brokenness that they're bringing to the people of God is going to be repaired, God's word is what's going to do it. And so they needed to get into a context where they were going to deal with this. And so they brought this issue to the church in Jerusalem, where they would be with the apostles, the other apostles. And they would be with James, who would have been the pastor of the church, along with Peter in a way. But James would have been, I suppose, in a sense, the lead pastor of the church in Jerusalem at this time. Now, James isn't just the pastor here, but he's also the half-brother of Jesus. And you might wonder, well, like, what does that mean, the half-brother of Jesus? So when Jesus was born, like we talked about in our message this morning, Jesus was born of a virgin. Mary had not been with a man, and so she was with child of the Holy Ghost. And Jesus comes to the world, and he's going to be the Savior of mankind. Now, Mary and Joseph would have been married after that, and in that marriage, they would have had children together, and James would have been one of those children. So James was raised together with Jesus. And he would have been a follower of Jesus here, but that's who he is. He brings up Peter and Cornelius. He references Amos chapter 9, verse 11 and 12 and verse 17. Now, let me show you that again. Verse 17, look at it with me. So this is in Amos chapter 9. You can look at it later, but he's quoting directly from that passage. Look at verse 17. He says that the residue of men might seek after the Lord. Let's just say something about that. That, listen, if you're going to have things set right tonight, then you're going to have to seek after the Lord. We're going to have to set everything else aside, and we're going to have to say, okay, God, I need you again. I need your help again. Here I am again, and I need your grace again. And so there's a seeking that needs to take place. Tonight, I believe that this is where we need to be. We need to seek after the Lord tonight, afresh, anew. God, I need something from you afresh and anew tonight. Verse 17, look what it says next. And all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord who doeth all these things. So he brings up the Gentiles to say that there were, because he had already talked about Peter and Cornelius, and there wouldn't have been a need for circumcision in that instance. But then he brings up Amos to say that there are Gentiles who are coming to the Lord, and there was no mention of a circumcision or becoming a follower of the law of God in this context. So what James is saying is there's no teaching here in the scripture in the Old Testament or in what God's doing today to say that we need to become a Jew to be saved. No, it's by grace through faith, and God works that way. Listen, that was the message this morning. We had people here who needed to be saved, and probably more than two, one who lifted their hand and one who's acknowledged that since. There's probably more than two who needed to be saved this morning. It's not our job to make people saved. It's our job to deliver the message of the gospel. God works in the hearts of his people and those that are under the sound of his word. And then the Holy Spirit brings conviction. And then a choice must be made. I'm going to decide to be a follower of Jesus. I'm going to decide to give my heart to him and become a servant of God. I'm going to give my heart to him. I'm going to decide to lay my will and my desires and my life aside, and I'm going to follow Jesus with all of my soul and all of my being. That's what salvation looks like. And by the way, being a follower of Jesus in any other way of our life, it's not any different. We constantly have to set our will aside to be a follower of Jesus. And let's not pretend like that's easy all the time. Oh, good night. I'm getting pumped up here. Let's not pretend like this is easy. No. We have a flesh. And we have desires of the flesh. And it compels us in one direction. And there's not anybody in here who doesn't understand this. We all live in this flesh, and we all live in this world, and we all have the temptation of the devil that's out there. And so constantly we need to be touched by the same Holy Spirit that convicted us unto salvation.
Yes.
And so the Word of God is what sets things right. We need to be here. We need to hear the Word. You think, well, I can miss, and it won't affect me. You're totally wrong.
Amen.
You're totally wrong.
Yes.
I mean, I want to be nice to you, but can I be nice and say you're totally wrong? Yeah. Completely wrong. You need to be here. In fact, you need to be here more than you realize you need to be here, if that's your attitude. Okay, so our flesh is so powerful, it pulls us and draws us away, you know? And so we constantly have to set that aside and say, okay, so I don't want to be this, I want to be what God wants me to be. And you know, everything gets set right when we do that. Everything gets set right. Everything is the way God meant it to be, the way it's designed to be, when we let God's word and the conviction of the Holy Ghost bring us back to where he wants us to be. It's his message. It's the word. It's the word of God that convicts us and is that healing touch in our life, drawing us and bringing us to where he wants us to be. I mean, this is a powerful message from James that changes everything. And by the way, it should change everything. Not that there would have been a message of, you know, work salvation anywhere before this, but for the New Testament church, this is the coup de grace, the death blow to work salvation and anything works related to please God or bring favor from God to your life. No. We have to set that aside and we have to, in obedience, let God lead our life. Look at verse 19. Wherefore my sentence is that we trouble them not. And so now he brings up again that grace issue to say, let's not put this burden upon them of works to bring favor in their life. But you know, it feels like there is like an irony here. Like, it's like, okay, so Paul says, salvation and your walk with God, it's by grace, and which we all need. Thank God for it. But then it seems ironic what he says in verse 20. What do you mean? Well, let's look at it. He says, but that we write unto them that they abstain, and then he lists some things. So it's like he says, grace, you know, and you don't need to do anything to please or have favor with God, but, right, you need to do these things. Like, what does that mean? What is James saying here? Well, let me tell you what he's not saying. He's not saying that you need to do these things to earn favor with God. He's not saying you need to do these things so you can have grace in your life. Praise God for that. Grace is just available. Can I said that a couple times already? Grace is just available tonight. So then what would be the purpose of Paul saying that some things need to be abstained from? What Paul is, or not Paul, but James, what James is saying here is that these things, if God's people involve themselves in these things, what they will become for the Jews especially is a stumbling block. Like, if you involve yourself with these things, if you attach yourself in this world to these things, then what you will become is a stumbling block to other believers. All right. It's not as though we need to abstain from these things to have favor with God or to have God's availability to God's favor or his grace. No. He's saying these things need to be abstained from because they will have an effect on the people around you. Can I say that the things that we do and the things that we don't do don't just affect us? And that's motivating, or at least it should be. It should be. He said abstain from pollutions of idols. And that's a very specific thing related to the Gentile world, the pagan worship, and the things that would have been going on with the Gentiles of the day. He references next... from fornication, which also is related to the Gentile world, and it was just rampant, and it was something that was accepted. And by the way, it was also a form of worship in the pagan ways. He says, from things strangled and from blood. So what he's talking about is the things that would have been an offense or something that would have caused the Jews to not just be offended, but to have a hard time fellowshipping with or being connected with or relating to. He's saying these things right here will disrupt the fellowship and the relationships, watch, between the Jews and the Gentiles of this day. And so we need to avoid these things. These things need to be avoided. We need to abstain from these things. And so Although we, in this day, we might say, okay, so those particular things, I suppose it would make sense that these things need to be avoided today, but these are specific to the culture of that day. But there's a principle that underlines this, or is really an umbrella over all of it, and that is that it's still true that God's people can associate themselves to certain things, and then we will become a stumbling block to the other people around us. Yes. Yes. I mean to say that we can become a stumbling block. Yes. So when I say we need to make things right and we need to keep things right, which is the title of the message tonight, which, by the way, we need to constantly be reevaluating because it's so easily to get broken and get away. So we need, okay, so we're just going to get it right. We're going to do it immediately, and we're going to keep things right. We're going to get right, we're going to do it immediately, and we're going to keep things right. You know, we're going to keep using, we're going to memorize 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, talking to saved people. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we need to continue to go to the Lord and make things right and keep things right with Him. But here's what we need to understand about that. And God's grace is available to do that at any moment, all the time, and praise the Lord for that. But the reason why is we need to maintain a rightness with God is not just so that we have a peace in our soul. That's a big part of it. And we need to have that peace so we can be effective, like this morning, to have that passion for God. We'll lose passion if we're broken. Okay? We won't have that ability. You can only pretend for so long. Right? And then you just fizzle away. You can't pretend. It needs to be right. And God refreshes, and there's healing, and it can happen instantaneously, and His grace is available, and thank God for that. And so there's healing that's there, but watch, it's not just for that peace, and it's not just for the passion and all the things that God wants to do in you and through you in this life. No. It's about the people around you too. Amen. It's about the people that you touch with your life.
Yes.
Your life affects other people. And in your life, if you maintain a rightness with God, then what will end up happening is you'll have an effect on the people around you that will help them to be getting closer to God too. There's a rightness and a fellowship and a holiness that's there. And God does that in us. And He does that through us. Isn't that a powerful thing? And how God uses us to have an effect on the people around us. And He wants that to be our testimony. But when we're a stumbling block, the opposite is what happens. What happens in our life is we're living a certain way, and then we become a stumbling block because we're associating ourselves. And God wants us to repair these things. He wants like the brokenness. He wants to get it put back, not just for our peace, but for those around us. And you know what's amazing? That really, this is the essence of the message. Grace and let's keep things right. Grace and let's keep things right. Grace is available. You can get right anytime, and let's keep things right. And then we'll have an effect on the people that are around us, keeping that closeness there. So how did the church like that message? I'm glad you asked. Look at verse 30. So when they were dismissed, they came to Antioch, and when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the epistle. Now remember, what's the theme of this? It's grace, and let's keep things right. Grace, let's keep things right, right? To have that example. Verse 31, and when they had read, they rejoiced for the consolation. There was rejoicing that took place. I used to like running. I still run. I'm running tomorrow. I don't like running as much as I used to. You know, I still do it. And I think that some of that joy of my running will start to come back. I've just gotten away from it, right? I used to, when I lived in Nebraska, I ran a lot. And I would usually run around the track because it was right across the street from us, the high school and that track that's there. So I'd go over there and I would just run. And you're like, my friends would say, well, why? Because I would run like 5 miles around this track, which is a lot of laps. And they would say, that's so boring. Why would you do that? Well, okay, so I listen to music, or I would listen to sermons while I'm running. So I'm not really thinking about where I am. I'm just thinking about what I'm listening to, or listening to a book or something while I'm running. And then, but there was times when, one time in particular that I thought, well, this is boring. And so I decided I would run on the sidewalk. Now, in Nebraska, there's a lot of trees, and the trees would grow up under the sidewalks, and then the sidewalk would just be like this, you know? And when I got to those areas, I was really cautious. And I'm running, you know, and I'd get to where the sidewalk's all messed up, and I would slow down, and I would just kind of go over it, and then I would just keep going, right? And I never tripped over the big roots and the sidewalks that was like 6 inches away from, you know, 6-inch gaps. I never tripped over those. I tripped over the gaps that are like this much, you know? And one time, and it happened more than once. I'm embarrassed to tell you this, actually. I was running in front of a restaurant called Runza. Have you ever heard of Runza? That's a terrible name for a Runza restaurant, right? Like, I'm not going to eat at Runza, you know? It's actually really good. But anyway, so anyway, I'm running in front of Runza on the sidewalk, and there's cars. It's the busiest part of our small little town, you know? And by the way, I've been there for 10 years. I know everybody in this town. When I get to a stoplight, I know everybody else at the stoplight. Or waving. I've been in their house. I know them. You know, and oh, maybe I know them. Let's pull the thing down and hide a little bit, you know. So I know everybody, and I'm running, and I'm in front of Runza, and I'm waving at people, and there's like little gap in the sidewalk, and I trip on that thing, and it wasn't like a little fall. You know what I mean? You know, okay, so sometimes you have the like graceful, oh, you know, and you're okay. No, this was like, you know, arms flailing, cell phones, stuff going everywhere. Everything just flew, and it was just all over the place. And, you know, here, the reason why I told you that is because sometimes it's a little thing that's a stumbling block. Yeah. You know, I think we try to watch out for the big stuff, you know, the big things, and we navigate through the big things, and we're like, oh, I got me, I don't want to trip over this. I want to be okay. And we're like, ah, oh, I made it, you know. No, it's the little things. We have to watch out for the little things. Because when we get caught by those, then we'll stumble and we'll become a stumbling block. Amen. You're like, oh man, Pastor, you got me. You got me. Well, I think I'm in that club too. So what do? Aren't you glad for God's grace? Amen. I am. Amen. Just set it right. Let's just get it right tonight. What do you say? Like, you know what? I messed up. Well, let's just get it right. I had a friend, his name's Vince, in college, and I was just depressed all the time because I would just beat myself up all the time because I just couldn't. I was frustrated about, you know, just wanting to be right, and I just kept messing up on whatever. And he said, you know, you need to cool down a little bit. You know, just cool down a little bit. He said, and he quoted that verse I said multiple times just a minute ago. He said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, right? He's talking to saved people, that's you and me. And then Vince said this. He said, you know, what's the timeline of that? I mean, and I said, what do you mean? He's like, no, whenever you sin or you mess up, you get away from God, how long do you have to wait before you can get it right? I was like, oh man, I don't know. He said, well, what about this? What if you sinned at 5 o'clock? How long do you have to wait before you get right? I suppose you don't have to wait at all. We can just go to him and he'll set it right. And you can do that every day, and you can do it all day, and we need to do it every day, and we need to do it all day. And you say, well, does his grace run out? Well, Paul said he giveth more grace. Amen. That means he doesn't run out. His grace is available. We just need to decide that I want to get this right. I want to set this right. And it's not just about the peace that he wants to pour into our soul, but it's about us deciding that our decisions don't just affect us. And that's a powerful motivation, isn't it? That we would decide, you know, I want to live in peace, and I want to know that God's blessing is there and his power is there and his touch is there. I want that. But I also want to be thinking that my decisions don't just affect me. And tonight, if you're there, if you needed this touch from the Lord, And maybe he's done a little bit of cutting and he's setting some stuff aside and getting to the root of where we are on some things. We might just need to come to him tonight and to say a couple of things to him. Number one, thank you for your grace. And so I need it tonight, Lord. Would you forgive me? Would you set this right? This thing that's broken, would you set it right again? And would you help me to be what you want me to be today? And then tomorrow, would you help me to be what you want me to be? Amen. And then he replaces all of those struggles, doesn't he, with the love and the joy that comes from him. And then we can have that peace. And it's powerful. And then God uses it in others' lives. This evening, let's keep things right. Let's decide we're going to keep things right. Just keep it right. I messed up again. Well, let's get it right. Keep it right. Just keep coming to Jesus. That was Sunday school this morning. Just keep coming to Christ. It's like a theme today, you know? Like, I messed up again. Just keep coming to him. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Just don't decide that you can't do it anymore. No, no, no. Just keep coming to Christ. Keep things right. He'll do the rest. Amen.